services will continue. We have the PG students and those who are staying behind. So, whether on Mondays or on Wednesdays or on Saturdays, without services. So, if you at any point feel like joining, you are free to come back from home and join. I know there are those who are not in a hurry because of the washing of plates and errands. I know that one comes in abundance. Say, go here, go there. So, some of you may actually say, I have to go to school. They are still doing service there, and I'm needed in that place. So whichever way, I'm sure that you'll be available for God, whether at home or here. Because it's always very useful. It's an investment that pays a lot of dividend. Okay, please come. Yes. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your children. Dance in Jesus' name. You are the owner of their future. In your mercy, let it be well with them in Jesus' name. They desire to serve you. Help them that at no point will they ever derail in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for everything. Make their joy to be full. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. That's all. That's all, except you want to. Father, we want to thank you for a beautiful time. David said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. When Elijah was running for his life, in 1 Kings 19, from verse 11, 12, we God decided to show that he is God. There was a wind, there was an earthquake, there was fire, but God was not there. But then there was a still small voice, and God spoke. Father, grant us wisdom to seize every opportunity so that we can reach our goal in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do that which only you can do, so that only God will take all the glory. And our own joy will be full. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This morning we are looking at the subject, somehow. Somehow. I know yesterday you soon discover that reaching your goal, somehow it will happen. And I want us to start from the back. From the back. With somebody sitting towards the back. and to open to Acts chapter 27 and verses 43 and 44. You project it and you would study those two verses somehow, one way or the other. Say, I don't know how, I don't know when, but he will do it. He will do it again. So you've seen it. Some of you are very fast. When it comes to studying, you read, and your reading translates to study. In Acts 27:43, the centurion got involved. When soldiers are asked to guide a prisoner or prisoners, they dare not report that they cannot account for the prisoners. So, when something happened that we will dwell on, when they say something is about to happen, pray until something happens. And soldiers are involved. Before you put the soldiers in trouble, they will ensure that they have done all they should do. So when events started unfolding, the soldiers decided that the best thing was to kill everybody. They decided. And then the centurion came and he said, don't. There's always a centurion somewhere. And that's the reason you are here today. And there's a centurion in your future. If not for the centurion, they would have eliminated Paul and all the prisoners. So, you saw it. He kept them from their purpose. So, where are you going? There is one whose mission, sole purpose, or three in one purpose, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his purpose. And he's very, very focused on that purpose. The centurion had to intervene and kept them from their purpose. They wanted to kill. The centurion said, no, these are not candidates for death. If the centurion was not there, it would have been all over for all the prisoners. Many of you don't know that you are prisoners. You are not in a ship, but you are prisoners. This body is a prison. It is housing a lot. Let me give you
some indication. It has your brain. Your brain is inside. It's imprisoned inside your body. That brain with which you think, various devices, is a prisoner inside your body. Until you prick your skin, you don't appreciate that there is blood inside, also imprisoned inside your body. So a little prick and you begin to see some color. And then you make effort to stop it. Say, you can't come out. You are a prisoner. You cannot. This prison is not the one you can break out from. So you look for iodine, methylated spirit, to keep the prisoner as a prisoner. You have your heart. It's a prisoner. So when God says in Proverbs 4:23, he says, guard your hearts with all diligence, for of it proceeds the issues of life. He says, guard your prisoner with all diligence. So you have kept those things, even your bone. Oh, this one you are wearing, they are not prisoners now. That's why you remove them and throw them away. These are not prisoners. You don't remove a prisoner. The prisoner remains where you keep them. So, when the soldiers were going to deal with these prisoners, they knew what they were doing. Or they thought they knew what they were doing. It is divine intervention that has kept you. I was telling me a while ago about somebody who went out. I said, leave him. Let him go. He needs to go out. Some know that being a prisoner inside here is far better than being exposed out there. It's 2.5 hours of imprisonment. In this case now, it appears voluntary. So you begin to know those who value the prison. When Solomon had a divine encounter, in 1 Kings chapter 3 that we looked at, he was alone. I don't need to tell you that there will be moments of being alone. So, he said, those who can swim. I don't swim. My experience with swimming was years ago when we went on an excursion. It wasn't voluntary swimming. And after then, anyone that sees me near a swimming pool should report to the police. We went to Kainji Dam and we got to this place and people jumped into the water. And they said a number of things that we do that appear like joke, but it's the life of somebody that's involved. You can imagine if the centurion did not hold them back from their purpose. As I was by the the bank of the swimming pool, admiring blue water. Somebody pushed me inside. Thank God that somebody rescued me. But in this case, there were prisoners who could swim. It was not a qualification for becoming a prisoner. It became useful when it was time to survive. So he said, well, those who could swim now cast themselves into the sea. The investments that God has made in your life during this period of being here, whether you are on your way out or here, has been deliberate. Very, very deliberate. And your imprisonment will be a result of the value you place on that investment. That's why in Psalm 27 verse 4, say, only one thing have I desired. That these investments that have been made in my life, they have to bear fruit. So Lord, I remain your prisoner. So, you can imagine at that point, nobody is saying, I cannot leave the room without you. Even if you are going to wait for 50 minutes, let us go together. That is an understanding of the imprisonment. So you hold on. Exactly 15 minutes later, you'll be coming, and you'll be discussing all kinds of things. So they cast themselves into the sea. And you know, seas are not like swimming pools, although they both start with S. In a swimming pool that is maintained, you are not likely to find tadpoles, not to talk about fish. In a sea, you are not just talking about fish. There could be sharks. But some people cast themselves onto the sea, because the talent that God has given them became useful at a time they never expected. The investments that God has made in their lives became critical at a time they did not expect it. Already they were not in a good shape. There's no prisoner you will see who tells you he's enjoying prison. So there's something in you that wants to break out. Want to come out. But what 2 Corinthians 6:17 says is, come out from among them. He didn't say come out of the vineyard. So if you think you know where you are going, I say it's a question of coming out. It's not as simple as getting out of the gate. Because there are realities outside of the gate. So this one, there is no record about who encountered a shark, a whale, or any dangerous mammal, including hippopotamus. No record. It is possible. But Paul has said something if you read from 27 verse 20 to 24, Paul had to encourage everyone. He said, "The Lord I serve assures that there will be no loss. No loss. So they cast themselves to the sea. Paul himself had been an instrument, also a prisoner. If you look at verse 31, also stopped something that would have been a disaster. When the shipmen saw the way things were unfolding, you know, there are people who never know how things are unfolding. They don't see. It's just like this. Huh? They never notice anything. He said, if you don't keep, if these shipmen carry out their plan, because they were planning to escape from the situation on ground. He said, there's no way they will be saved, though. Absolutely no way. So in verse 31 and in verse 43, we see divine intervention through human vessels. One by somebody who was a prisoner. The other by someone who was a keeper of prisoner. You are in one of the two categories. And you will soon find out what we are talking about. In verse 44, those who could not swim, those who were helpless, the Bible tells us that, you know, wood, this is wood. You see, if you go to a sawmill, there are things they call boards. Now, you probably will not appreciate the testimony of the floating axe. But some things are meant for probably sinking. Some things can float after they have sunk. So, some, and you know that when you have a board, you must be a fantastic skater. Somebody who skates. For you to balance yourself on a board on water and not tumble immediately. That's the miracle of verse 44. The Bible says, some of them on boards. So it's like you get a piece of wood, you just put your leg inside. Somehow you will get there. How do you stand on a board with the kind of situation of the waters at that time? How? Some of us will hold on to somebody or to something, but you were not holding on to anything. You just put your leg on the board. They say some of them on boards and some others on pieces of the wreck of the ship. How does a piece of the ship? I don't know. I've gone on boat ride. And it's quite nice when it is nice. Somehow, they all got safely to their destination. It's been a journey that you had. It's been a journey. In that same Acts chapter 7, from verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, Paul had warned. He had told them. He said, I perceive that this journey will be difficult. God still speaks. In fact, when you are a prisoner for Christ, he will be speaking to you like water flowing. So, he said, I perceive that the journey will be difficult. But the Bible tells us, starting from verse 12, that they believed the report of man than the report of God. So, they ignored Paul. So sometimes you do get ignored. Doesn't remove the fact that God has spoken to you. Doesn't change it. They ignored Paul. Maybe God has spoken to you and you are feeling ignored. Remember, they ignored Paul. But he didn't count it as anything. A prisoner does not. There are things that are important to the prisoner. The other day I was reading a report about the prisons. By the time anyone enters into those places, by the time we went to a prison to go and visit the prisoners, and I heard one of the most beautiful choir ever. That's Kuje Prison in Abuja. One of the most beautiful, fantastic singing. When you are a prisoner, anything you do will be led by the Spirit of God. I even got a song that day from them. That was where I first heard a song, I never knew you could answer me this way. Prisoners. That was my first time of hearing that song. So Paul was ignored. And in verse 14, the Bible tells us that within a very short time, there was a tempestuous, we call Euroclidon. Paul had seen it in the spirit. Man could not imagine it. They felt that hope will do it. But it came. Euroclidon came. and it came heavy. The same set of people who were bubbling suddenly knew that exuberance without foundation will lead to frustration faster than you think. Exuberance. You want to please man. You tell lies. You do all kinds of things. You manipulate. You manipulate your friends. In a very short while, the balloon is deflated. Then you discover that you can never use the elements of human reasoning to have enduring victory. So if you read from verse 20 to 24, when you're a prisoner for God, you are very focused. I'm hoping somebody here will be focused. You are very focused. The things that don't matter to you don't matter to you. It is not what matters to others that matter to you. And nobody needs to understand that. But this is about your life. They went on compulsory prayer and fasting because of Euroclidon. I'm sure there will be someone here who will recognize, like Mark 9:29 says, that this type does not go except by prayer and fasting. You cannot do without food. Glory be to God. By 12 o'clock, if you don't eat, your brain will begin to bang. Thank God for that. But as you go, you will discover that there are situations that when you see food, they say, come and eat. You say, which food? May you never encounter that in Jesus' name. But there's a clear message here. Somehow. So, Paul now told them, he said, I had an encounter last night. And the Lord whom I serve, the one I serve, you know the one you are serving. You know. I know we are here together, but you know the one you are serving. But Matthew 6:24 is very clear. There is only one possibility when it comes to serving. Romans 6:16 also is very clear. There is only one possibility when it comes to serving. He said, please be assured that there will be no loss. No matter what you will find, no matter what Euroclidon does. Say, my Father has assured me there will be no loss. So even before he spoke in verse 31, see, there is a conviction that drives you if you are a child of God. Romans 14 verse 5 says, one man estimates days differently, another estimates all days alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart. He had heard from God. He did not need to hear from man. There's someone here, when you hear from God, it is what man tells you that prevails. Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21 says, many, multitude are the thoughts in the heart of a man, the counsels, but only the counsel of the Lord that shall prevail. So Paul did not need to hear from anybody. Absolutely nobody. Who is the person? Is it your senior pastor in church? Is it your general overseer or superintendent? Is it your general apostle? Apostle general. If God has said it, you better learn to listen to God. So for Paul, it wasn't one issue anymore. And you begin to understand this very well when you know where Paul is coming from. You know where you are coming from. I don't know. Galatians 1:15 and 16. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to call me to himself, when it pleased God to imprison me, I like that prison. Let me tell you some of the things that that prison does to you. Haggai chapter 2. Verse 8, it says the silver and the gold belongs to him. So in that prison, silver is not lacking, gold is not lacking. It's not even an issue. In that prison, Matthew 5:48 says that even as your Father in heaven is perfect, perfection becomes possible in that prison. In that prison, 1 Peter 1, if you see 15 and 16, it tells you that holiness becomes possible in that prison. If you are not in that prison, that's why you are struggling. That's why you have a lot of difficulty. But you better know that Euroclidon does not know Paul. He does not know Centurion. And of course, you know what happened with... So he had to encourage them. This compulsory fasting. Feel free to eat. There's jollof rice here. Pounded yam here. Amala here. Beans and yam here, noodles here, bole here. Just feel free. Eat anyone you want. So, he now was the one who encouraged soldiers to eat. Soldiers are trained to kill. It was Paul, a prisoner, that gave soldiers, who in verse 43 wanted to eliminate them, that gave them the confidence to be able to even eat anything because they thought it was all over. But somehow, Paul was in that voyage. How did Paul get to this situation? You know the story very well. The disciples have been scattered. And you see people are already, this one is heading in this direction, the other one in the other direction. That's what happened then. The one that will go to Samaria, the one that will go to Ephesus, they just, you know, they're all scattered. And in Acts chapter 21, from verse 10, Paul was already headed for Jerusalem. And you ask yourself, so why are you insisting on Jerusalem? In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So Paul was headed to Jerusalem. But in Acts chapter 21, from verse 10, they were having a good time in the house of Philip the evangelist. That's if you go to verse 9. And a certain prophet called Agabus. You know, God will allow you to encounter prophets. And he has a purpose for prophets. But he has a greater purpose for your life. In verse 10, the Bible says that this Agabus came, and from verse 11, you're seeing that Agabus took the girdle of Paul, and tied his hand and feet with it, and said, "By the Holy Ghost." He didn't speak by any other. "This is how the owner of this will be bound in Jerusalem." He did not say Judea. He didn't say Samaria. It was very specific. When they heard that one in verse 11. Verse 12. "Brethren, you know, bro, sis," they started to prevail on Paul. "Please don't go. Don't go. Where will you go? See what the prophet has said." In verse 13, Paul stood and said, "What meanest thou to break my heart?" You know, people that their hearts are broken. He broke your heart. He broke it irretrievably. Can you imagine? Donald broke your heart. Very wicked man. But here Paul said, "What meanest thou? What are you trying to do? Do you understand that I'm a prisoner for Christ? And anywhere he asks me to go, that is where I go." The Bible says when he got to that point, they had to leave him alone. When those who do not know where God is leading you see you doing certain things, there could be occasion for you to explain. But they leave you alone. They say, "Just leave that one alone." They can call you any kind of name, that he probably has gone mad or she has gone mad. Even parents will be looking for intercessors to pray for their children who have decided to become prisoners for Christ. So, when they saw that they could do nothing anymore, verse 14, that's when they now recognize that there is a will of God. You know, whenever men have tried, they say, "Well, let the will of God be done." So where did they not know there was a will of God before? That was the background. That's where Paul was coming from. And you know that a lot of things happened. Paul had to testify, just as you have opportunity to testify. I've had people complaining, "My roommate is just, I don't even, you know." When God has sent you there as Paul For your light to drive away every darkness. So if you read Acts 24 from verse 25 to 27, you even had a situation where Paul was testifying. This time before a man called Felix. The Bible says that as Paul spoke, Felix trembled, verse 25. He trembled. He knew there was something, but Paul did not see the trembling. Felix was the one who knew he was trembling. When the word of God goes out, some of those that are making noise, they tremble, but they try to deceive themselves immediately after. Felix trembled. And because Felix had an idea of the way, the Bible tells us in verse 26 that this Felix was hoping that Paul will bribe him so that he can set him free. You can see where Paul was in the midst of brethren. They wanted to discourage him from reaching his goal. Remember Acts 27:43? Centurion kept them from their purpose. The brethren wanted to keep Paul from his purpose. He said no. It was not the turn of Felix. He wanted Paul to give money. Of course, Paul just did as if he did not even know. He said he was hoping somebody was already a ruler. Like somebody would say, he was already mummified. He was waiting for money from somebody on trial. And you see the way it works. There are many who are in serious problems today. Those who cannot help them will say, go and bring money home because we have to give money to so and so. And he did that for 2 years. And in verse 27, the Bible tells us that after 2 years, Felix now trying to please the Jews, allow Paul to continue on the journey of destiny. You know where you are coming from, but we are talking about where you are going now. It's somehow. This is about fulfilling God's purpose. This is about reaching your goal. There is a girl based in the U.S. Her name is Zuriel Oduwole. She's a teenager. And there's a buzz concerning Zuriel. She's meeting with heads of states. She's a celebrity. Sometimes you cannot understand where is she coming from. How do you just suddenly get to pick someone from the crowd? That's the prerogative of God. Romans 9:15. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So you are here now, and one of your classmates in primary school is now one of the senior area boys in Oshodi Market. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You're here now. one of those who used to be very bright is now hooked on Indian hemp. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You are here now. Somebody gave the story some months ago about how he was in a vehicle and he saw somebody pushing a cart. He used to be the best student in his class. And he looked and said, "What am I seeing? What happened? How do you move from being the best student to becoming a cart pusher?" I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Despite what Paul went through, God in his mercy, and Peter, they say, who was the leader of the disciples? They say, it's Peter. How much of the Bible did Peter write? Why did God choose Paul to be the one to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth? Somehow it happened. Did he walk? Did he fly? Did he swim? I don't know. I just know that when it was time to get to Troas, he got to Troas. When it was time to get to Ephesus, he got to Ephesus. So where are you right now? The ship is compassed with a tempest. There's Euroclidon. I hear the word recession. Recession. Recess. Recede. That's what they say. And their families right now, you will understand what we are talking about now during your during the holiday. You don't have to understand it right now. So, there was divine intervention. So, there will be divine intervention. There will be the voice of God that someone may want to discountenance. Or there will be the voice of man that will lead to problems. Nobody say you are not a centurion, you are not a commander. But that can command into an impossible situation. But then there will be, like verse 43 and 44 says, the opportunity for somebody here, once given, because it's not even an announced opportunity beyond this announcement, beyond what we are hearing now. The moment the centurion has intervened to prevent the soldiers from their purpose, the enemies, the one that knew how to swim through the investments. Of course, you know that we heard it here, how a man who never played the piano all his life got a satanic impartation. He's not a pastor, but that's how he learned to play the piano. You saw the man in flesh and blood. After a kind of transcendental meditation, so those things are happening. You will see magic. Your father will tell you that you are a small girl, you don't know anything. This is what they gave us. Chew it. that investment that made it possible, you that is a non-swimmer to be able to now swim. You will need that swimming skill in the sea. I don't try to understand whether a board is, nobody was measuring the size. Can it carry me? Can it carry? Just enter like that, the thing just went. And the water carried, and all of them were saved.
Just pray.
Again, you are here. You want to surrender it all to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. Say, Lord, there are others, please raise your hand. When we start praying, we'll start praying. Father, I want to thank you for your son. Thank you for your raise your hand properly. Why are you? I thank you for your sons. Thank you because if it's only because of them that this service has held, it's been worth it. Lord, we pray that what has happened in their lives, and even for your daughter that is now raising her hand, Father, have mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, they have put their hands on the plow. The reality of being prisoners, just as everything in their body is imprisoned in that body, and a lot of people see is their face and their shape. Lord, make them prisoners for Christ, that somehow we make it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Never leave nor forsake them. In Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you for your children here. Thank you because you are God of purpose. Thank you, Lord, because you had a purpose for this particular service. And like we say, the Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. This message would have come with a multitude. But you chose today, and you gave the multitude the opportunity to wait for it. For your children that have waited here, we are praying somehow there will be deliverance in Jesus' name. Those who are living, you go with them. Never leave nor forsake any of us. Help us to walk at our salvation with fear and trembling. And make us the light the world needs to see. Help us to be able to stand firm on your promise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we take the offering?